Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When this podcast started in another place 10 years ago, who would have thought that we'd be talking about Women's Super League? Well, something that way, because it didn't exist. I mean, Women's Rugby League existed, obviously, but the Women's Super League was but a figment in the imagination of someone at the Rugby Football League. Well, now it exists. It's in its latest season, 2024. York going in as the defending champions. Welcome to another special podcast where we look ahead to the new season with a load of people we spoke to earlier in the week. Let's start with York. They are the champions, and their director of rugby is Lindsay Anfield. After the grand final last year, Lindsay, I spoke to Tara Jane Stanley, and she pointed out that I couldn't talk about York not winning finals anymore.
Right.
You've won that final. That you've got to go on and win everything else now. Surely you'll win every trophy this year.
It depends how you look at it, I guess. You know, our benchmark was the grand final. Anything less than that is a real failure this year. Every game's got to improve. That includes the big games, the semis, the finals. I do think there was a sense of understanding how to win a final that took a lot of, you know, a lot of process and a lot of thought building up to that final, and then when it kind of came off, I think the girls now feel confident going into games that we know how to do it, and I myself feel probably a bit like that as well, but that's not to say we will, because every other team's got that feeling, haven't they? So hopefully
it's a strange thing though, isn't it? You see it in every sport, not just rugby league, how teams and individuals, they get to finals and they can't win them, but suddenly something clicks and it happens. And what was it like after that final, beating the first team from York to be champions?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, for me, it was just absolute relief, because I'd been in that situation so many times before, and you're watching the clock, you know, tick down, and you just, can't believe we've blown it again. But no, I thought in the final we actually performed well. It wasn't just a, you know, a head for head, and you know, it just so happened that York won. I thought that everything we did building up to that and in the game was where we wanted it to be, and it set the tone for going into this season.
Coming and going to the club, are you happy with the way the squad's looking?
Yeah, really happy. We've recruited more staff this year. We've got Danny Holmes, Richard White in, obviously from Hull, helping out this year, and that's really given us a bit more strategic depth to what, you know, how we're planning sessions and what we're delivering to the girls, which has been really beneficial for me. And then a few additional players, which is always good to, you know, to throw into the mix to keep everybody on the toes.
Everyone's talking about St Helens playing match payments, Leeds and yourselves obviously last year, but these contracts that you're signing players to, how big a step forward is that for Women's Rugby League?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see St Helens announce match payments last week, but equally, they're probably a little bit late to the party. Match payments are fantastic, but they have been going on for, you know, 2 or 3 years now. But for me, it's looking after the player, so the players commit so much to the club, to the sport. You know, teams have got to come in now with the contracts to say, we are going to look after you. So if a player gets badly injured in the first game of the season, they'll get nothing. If a player gets pregnant, they'll get nothing. So for me, all the clubs now have got to be looking to really reward the players as people, and contracts are the only way to do that.
Because the sport can't go backwards now, can it? You've got contracts playing at Wembley. There's no going backwards.
No, absolutely no going backwards. And while it's a big investment from the club to do that, I think it's the right thing, and hopefully other players and other clubs will see that. For the girls that haven't been paid before to now get player payments is fantastic, but that again brings in all sorts of different things in terms of, well, you're not playing this game because you need to rest, but then I won't get paid, so I really want to play. So, you know, I've experienced things like masking injuries, you know, begging to play because they've got the car insurance coming up, things like that, and you don't really want that. I know that happens, you know, at times in the men's game, but to have the girls, you know, happy where they are with the contract and knowing that they're going to get their money regardless, it's a little bit more security for them.
Is it about clubs buying into the whole concept of Women's Rugby League, Women's Super League? You see how York have built things here, obviously, but other clubs haven't quite. given the same level of, well, any level of support compared to here.
Yeah, and I suppose it's every club's prerogative as to where their priorities are. And at York, it's a massive one club mentality that Clint's drilled in. You know, we train at the same time as the men. We have the same provision as the men. Obviously, the contracts are slightly different, but for obvious reasons. But we're obviously trying to push towards that, and it's not that we've now given them contracts and hoping everybody else does it. We're looking for the next step of what we're going to offer our players.
Joel Wrench, with Sheffield, how important is it that you give players more game time who aren't in the first 17?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a really great game with them last week where we played some of our fringe players that we weren't too sure how they'd gone after pre-season, and some of the under-19s against Sheffield. That were fantastic for both clubs, and I think going into this season to have that real strong relationship with that club is going to really, really be good for both sides.
Really looking forward to the first game then and getting things underway.
With Sheffield, yeah. No, we are, and they understand that some of what we class as the first team need a run out, need to stretch the legs and see where they're at, but equally being respectful to our opposition and making sure that they've got areas that they can really get something out of the game.
As you'll understand, when it was announced midway through last season that Sam Burgess was joining the Warrington Wolves, a lot of attention on them and their young coach in charge. But it's not just the men at the Halliwell Jones with a new young coach in charge. The women are as well. Armani Sharrock, who retired from the game at the end of last season. She's not even 30 yet and will be leading her team in to the Women's Super League and, of course, the Women's Challenge Cup. And we spoke to her and asked her if she's ready, because it's the same question you ask everyone at this time of year. Are you ready for your first season in charge of the Warrington Wolves?
Yeah, I think so. We've had a long pre-season. We started just before Christmas with a bit of a trial period. Quite a lot of interest with people wanting to come in and stuff like that. So got a bit of a trial out of the way. So the girls have been working hard for the last few months. So yeah, I think we're ready now.
How do you and all the other clubs catch the top three?
I think for us this year we've focused on sort of closing the gap off field in terms of standards and what we offer the girls. We've had a much more varied pre-season. We've had a lot more benefits for the girls and trying to do all those little things that really are important to those female players. And I think once we close the gap off the field, the performances will start to come on the field.
How important is it to be a female coach in a female sport? Because it's something that obviously I have no idea about how women behave in, on and off the pitch.
I think especially because I played last year and had quite a lot of playing experience, I kind of understand what they appreciate as players and what makes them tick. So I suppose understanding female athletes as a female myself is kind of got that little bit of an insight. Having relatively recently retired as well, I'm probably in the fortunate position that I know what we were lacking last year and what gaps we need to close. So I think it's obviously going to be a benefit to understand the female mind and how that works a little bit more.
I feel strange asking about it because it sounds like a stupid thing to say. How have you found the transition from playing to coaching?
Yeah, it's been good. It's something that I made a priority was putting that barrier in place and that boundary. The night the girls found out, I kind of left the girls group chat and stuff like that and made that sort of definitive line in the sand and on a different role within the group. I obviously have friends within that playing group last year, so I've tried really hard to make sure I've put a line between myself and the players and I've got that off-field relationship, but when we're in and we're training and we're together, it's player coach.
Is that hard to do then, just to have that completely draw the line and say this is
I thought it'd be more difficult than it has been. But the girls have been really receptive to me as a coach. Maybe that's because they had the respect for me as a player, but they've been receptive to me as a coach. I think they've made that transition easy for me.
How have you strengthened the squad in the offseason?
We've got some exciting youth coming through. We knew we had to focus our recruitment away from those big teams. We didn't perform very well on the field, so we were never going to attract those sort of big names in the game, but I think we've attracted some really exciting young talent, and we're really excited to see them go. We've got 9 graduate from the academy last season and this. We've brought in one of our young players, Anna. She's an England touch player, so really good feet, really good skill, and we've tried to identify that next wave of sort of your pathway and your England players, and I think we've done that quite well this year, so I'm excited to see how them youngsters go.
Is that the way it has to be to grow when you're outside the top 3, that you build steadily from within and hopefully close the gap?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the way the game's going as well, it's a far more athletic game. Prop forwards aren't a traditional prop forward anymore, they're athletes, and I think you've got to kind of grow away from the mould at the minute. Like I said, we hope to change the narrative this year on what Warrington is and what they can offer, and I think we've started to do that. I think people are looking at us more favourably off the field, but we had to channel our recruitment slightly different than some of those top teams will, and I think we've achieved what we wanted to in that respect.
this is going to sound like a stupid question, but it's something Amanda said on the stage about women's rugby league different to men's rugby league. What does that mean? Do you know what she meant by that?
Yeah, I think there's facets of the game that are the same, but we physically we are different, and the game will be played at a slightly different speed and stuff like that. For example, offloads, the men's game is far more fruitful in offloads. We don't have that in the women's game yet. The speed of the game's different, the intensity, the skill level. I think we're massively closing the gap in terms of skill, but the game's played slightly different, and you have to understand female players to play against females, and just body-wise, people have balls in different positions because of what's going on physically. So I think we have to understand how females play to play that game.
Does that give you an advantage then as a female coach going into this competition against teams which have a male coach?
I mean, the male coaches in the game have worked hard to understand the game, and I think they understand that it is a different sport. Obviously, Matty and Dennis and people like that, they've put a lot of time and effort to understanding the female game. Like I said, I think my probably benefit is that experience of having played with this group and wave of Super League players, and some of the teams that I'll now coach against are teams that I had to prep to play against last year. So I'm hoping we can kind of pull on that experience as well.
Another new face in the Women's Super League for 2024 is one very recognisable to rugby league supporters for the last few decades. Former Great Britain international and indeed Wigan Warriors men's coach Dennis Betts, who now takes charge of the women's team. Dennis, you're a few months into the job now at Wigan. What have you learned about coaching a women's team compared to obviously you used to coach the men?
Well, I had 22 years of coaching men, yes, but I was asked the question, what's different? The women. That's all you need to know. It's like, but it's been really exciting for me because what is coaching at its purest form is trying to create an understanding and a pathway for people to develop. It's something I've never done, so I had to relearn some of my skills. I had to go approach it differently, and I've been really fortunate the girls have embraced it. They've challenged me, they've wanted to know more about why I'm there, how can I help them, and that's been like coaching at its purest form, and that's what I've enjoyed most.
What's the challenge for Wigan this year? Because obviously being around that fourth place behind York, Leeds and St Helens in the last few years, is it about closing the gap?
Yeah, it's not closing the gap, it's climbing into that top three. That's our challenge, and our ability to be competitive and challenge those, like the three big players for the last 4 or 5 years. So we're going after those teams. I want us to be competitive and want us to bring our best every single training session, and hopefully that'll transfer into the weekend.
How important is it that you're part of this big Wigan club that, you know, obviously success in the men's Super League, winning the World Club Challenge the other week, the wheelchair team winning the Super League Grand Final as well this year? It's all part of this one club mentality.
Yeah, there's no pressure then, because the wheelchair, they're champions, the men's team, they're champions. So, yeah, so I've got no pressure on me at all there, no. To be part of this organisation, it's in my blood. It's something I've been there. I've been at Wigan since I was 16. I spent a little bit of time away. I've gone off and cut my teeth coaching in other areas after coaching Wigan's first team as well, and the men's team, and through their academy system. So I know what the club's about, and I'm very fortunate that the boss at this moment in time, in the CEO, in Chris Wadlinska, somebody I know, and how competitive he is, and how much he wants to challenge the norm and change everybody's perspective on what rugby league is and what the game offers, but also set Wigan apart and be at the top of the tree.
That first Super League game is going to be in the DW Stadium. How important is it that the women's game is put on these platforms on a more regular basis?
Well, it's massive, and I think that's what we're doing as a group. We're understanding that's our home ground. That's our club. The women are part of that. The women are part of that whole club mentality. So we deserve to be on that pitch, but we've got to earn that right by the people that we can bring through the gates and the value and money that we can add to the whole organisation when we do play there.
I spoke to your new captain, Vicky Molyneux, after her final England game last year, and she said you had to explain to some of the younger players who you were. Is that quite a humbling thing? Obviously you've got this great reputation, great player, and obviously this long coaching career, but some of these younger players, they weren't around when you were playing.
No, but they take me for what they are, I said. But they've got this thing called Google. So it started off, they didn't know who it was, and then all of a sudden they all came back and went, oh, right, yeah, now we get what they're talking about. No, it's not, that's not me. I'm not fazed by that. I'm the one thing I said to the girls when I first walked in is that what you have to understand is that I work for you, you don't work for me. I need you to challenge me, I need you to ask questions, and I'll help you fulfil your potential. My job is to help you and create a platform to make you better. That's it.
Welcome now to the Leeds Rhinos portion of the podcast. In a moment, we're going to be talking to their new signing, Shona Hoyle. Well, she was new when they signed her, at the end of last year. But first, here's their coach, Lois Forsell. Lois, ready for 2024?
Yeah. I think pre-seasons are good and they're great, and I actually quite enjoy them, but I know for the players and towards the end of it for the coaching staff, you just want to get out there and start playing.
Start off with the Challenge Cup. Obviously got to the final last year. How important is it to get back to Wembley and win this year?
Yeah, we want to get back to Wembley and want to make sure we go on further and win. I would say that no one remembers who comes second, but it's been mentioned a couple of times today, so they definitely do.
Apologies.
No, it's okay. But yeah, we've got that fire in his belly, because going to a stadium and a stage like Headingley and an event like Headingley, occasion like Headingley, and to come out, losing was tough, and I think that'll give the girls that fire in their belly to make sure that we don't let that happen again.
How's the squad looking in terms of injuries going into the season?
Yeah, not too bad. We've had a few girls who've had surgery over the off season. So Kira Bennett and Caitlin Beavers had surgery. So we're missing two, senior key players to start the season and start the campaign. But I think you'd rather miss them there than miss them at the last stage. So they had operations that they needed to get sorted to make sure that they're both fit and well for the year. So we're looking forward to getting them back, hopefully. Kira will be Aprilish and Caitlin Beavers will be June. So yeah.
Shona Hoyle and Grace Fields. Now that suggests to me you're looking to make your pack a bit stronger this year, perhaps.
Yeah, I think we lacked a bit of punch at times, and I think we spoke about strength in depth. I think that's the first lesson I learned as a coach in 2021, I think it was. That you need strength in depth, because things quickly change, and you go from having a squad of 30 to a squad of 23 available, and just that's the nature of a sport, playing a contact collision sport, and it's tough on the body, so you need to make sure you've got enough players available. But yeah, Shona and Grace definitely give us a bit more punch up front, and then some of the back, the backs that we brought in Liv White and Beth McMillan, just make sure you've got strength in depth and challenging the competition week in, week out to get them starting shirts.
Mentioned the Challenge Cup, and you start the season with that. How important is that? We've seen in the men's game with the 1895 got for teams in the Championship, they're almost able to treat them as not quite pre-season friends, but competitive games building up to the bigger games in the Super League.
Yeah, I think we will be putting out our best squad and making sure that we get some performances in early doors, because ultimately as well, we've got Lee and Hull KR at Huddersfield, they'll be looking to cause some upset. We've seen in those competitions at 1895 and in the Challenge Cup early doors that there has been some games where I've knocked out teams that you would think that would go to the next round. So we don't want that to happen, and we want to make sure we get some good performances in and start well.
Long time to think after the grand final towards this year. What are you planning to do differently, if anything, this year?
Planning from our point of view, we just know that we've had more opportunity to create some good partnerships and combinations across the team. Obviously a little bit out of our hands, but I don't really feel that our attack was particularly good enough. We just looked a little bit lost of ideas at times, but I think we had very, very different combinations at half-back, because we had Caitlin Casey who started at half-back and stayed there, but other than that the other half-back spot changed quite a little bit throughout the games. We got to a big final and your England nines ruled out through a ban, so hopefully we can just get some better combinations and the attack looks a little bit more fluent and exciting, and defensively we just need to be a little bit more dominant. I think we just let far too much go last year in terms of not being dominant enough, so that's the challenge for the girls this year.
Obviously you started last year with a squad, and then after a couple of weeks there's players going off to the NRLW. I guess you haven't had that problem this year. Is that a nice problem to have, or would you be like to see more players playing? Yeah.
I've got PTSD. I hope no one's going to tell me they're going, but no, it was this time last year that all sort of happened. But we're fully supportive of some girls getting that opportunity. I think that moving forward I'm pretty sure that that'll be done a lot differently. I think that the reason it caused so much upheaval last year is because they had all the agreement stuff going on in the NRLW and NRL, so I don't think that was any normal year. I think that everything was late, because everything was just late over there within their whole competition, not just the women's, so it did create a lot of upheaval and made us face a little bit of adversity early doors and throughout the year. But we're so proud to see George Roach win that grand final over there, and Fran Goldthorpe signing again with the Cowboys. Like, it's just great to see their two Leeds girls, played at Drigg, played at Guiseley. Like, again, what another amazing thing for young girls playing the game to see.
this whole, everyone keeps saying, if you can't see it, you can't beat it. You're obviously a female coach. How important is it that there are females on the bench in the Women's Super League? And who's to say in the future that, why can't a woman coach in the men's competition?
Why can't they not? I think I'm quite happy that I just want to, you know, reach the heights that I think the women's game can reach. I think that, you know, as I spoke about it today, the women's game being its own sort of niche a little bit. It's rugby league, and you know, we just need to push that to be as big as it possibly can be. So I've got high ambitions for a coaching career, but you know, I'm happy with where I'm at now, and I think that it's really important. And obviously I'm lucky enough that I saw Amanda doing it, Amanda Wilkinson, who's coached at Barrow, and Lindsay Anfield, she transitioned from playing to coaching, and I were lucky enough that I had some role models that I could see doing that. And it is important, because I think, you know, seeing women of all different walks of life doing it as well. Obviously, you know, I was quite nervous when I had my son, that, you know, can I coach and can I have a child and can I make that work? I saw Lindsay do that, saw women in other sports do that. So I think that's the next part of growth of the women's game as well, is seeing female players. You know, like Kelsey's had a baby and returning to Super League this year. Like, there's so much to be still yet to do and so many firsts to uncover, but it's exciting. There's so much growth, and it's great. I think we need to have more people that you can look up to and sort of see doing what you want to do.
The best, the number one, greatest innovation the game has brought in, 40-20.
Shauna, what? Why Leeds? Why Leeds?
Why not Leeds? You know, they're an amazing established team. They're in Yorkshire. And I feel like, you know, I absolutely loved it in Lancashire at Saints. Love the players, love the coaching staff, love everything about Saints. It just wasn't, a long period that I could continue to do due to life balance and things like that, with work commitments, being a mum and things like that. So why not have the best of the best, but just in a different area?
I used to work over the M62, and it's a long trip, isn't it? And there's road works, and there's...
Yeah.
It must be nice to have that, just an extra hour or two to yourself.
Absolutely. You know, I used to leave work early. My job were very, you know, my job's amazing, my work... They're amazing anyway, so they used to let me leave early to get on the M62 so I can go and pick Paige up on the way, or she'd drive, or it sometimes took 3 hours to get there. And then when you get in there, you've got to rush around, get your boots on, go out, and you know, and it wasn't fair on the girls. And sometimes we might be moody because we've been stuck at motor for, but they knew that, though. They knew not to speak to us when we first got there. Sometimes it could take an hour and a half, and sometimes it could take 3 hours, and it was very stressful. Like, you know, the next day on your body, it's not just that, just training as well. You've got to train for 2 hours then, you know. You've got to make sure your head's on it, and that's just what we bring. We bring professionalism, we'll try our best, and, you know, but sometimes it just takes a toll on your body. But no, I'm very excited. You know, I can have like an extra 2 hours just having a coffee with the girls when I get there, and I don't have to be on the motorway for hours.
What are they like? What, compared to St Helens, are they a different bunch or similar?
No, they're very different. You know, Saints are a very, you know, older, experienced squad, and Leeds are very exciting youth, fire blazers. I find them very exciting. I've spoke about Caitlin Case quite a lot. I'm very excited to see her go. Bella Sykes, very excited to see her go. Izzy in the middle, you know, just got so many strike players throughout the squad, and I think it's going to be an exciting season going ahead. Yeah,
it seems. Well, I mean, they're actually coach, she said so. Bringing yourself in, Gracefield, making the pack a little bit stronger than it was perhaps last year. Is that where you see your role being this year, is to just add things to what was already there?
Absolutely. You know, I'm playing second row, which I'm really excited about. I do thrive myself on, you know, making sure I have good contact, make sure I don't let anyone pass me. No matter how messy it can get in that situation, I try and have good values before I go and step onto the pitch, to make sure I keep at them values and keep at them the reasons why I play rugby league. And I feel like, you know, if I have them, what can go wrong at that point?
You come into a team where you've won at Wembley, so you know what it's like, and they know the opposite side of that. How big a thing was that to you personally and your career and everything last year?
Absolutely loved it. One of the best times of my career was playing at Wembley, winning at Wembley, going to try at Wembley. I think it was really exciting, you know, and it is, and like I explained, with playing with Amy, it was very emotional as well, and that aspect, you know, how our kids were there, and it was just so... it's so raw to us, and it's just so sad that she's on the opposite side of it. But hopefully this year we're going to go out and win everything, so we'll just see how we get on. But we've worked very hard in pre-season to make sure we have the best opportunities to win.
I'm scared of her. Is that main reason why you chose late, so you don't have to be tackled by it?
Absolutely not, no. I scored tries past Amy last season, so no, like, she probably says, you know, she scored a try past me. She'll probably feel the same way about me as I feel about her. You know, you don't underestimate each other because we'll play into the whistles being done. But no, absolutely not. It was more of a, we want to finish our career off together, and I think it were very much important, as in we can add definitely to, as a together pack than against each other. So no, absolutely not.
I'm just scared. Talking about then, you say coming towards the end of your career and wanting to finish your career that with Amy, but how exciting are the youth players coming through at Leeds? Because we're seeing this across Super League now. Everyone seems to have some young halfback coming through that no one's ever heard of, and it's exciting on in the stands watching. But what's it like on the pitch?
So exciting. You know, we've worked very hard. Me and, because I'm playing with Caitlin, so we've worked very hard in how to communicate without communicating with each other. You know, where do I need her? Where does she need me? And we've got that now, and we feel very comfortable with each other. And that's what, you know, I had that with Faye Gaskin. You know, very experienced, very quality halfback. I think we're thriving. We need more halfbacks, but as I see more and more coming through, it's amazing. It makes our job easier anyway.
Well, and not lose them all to the NRLW straight away. But obviously that's it's got to be the aim for the young player to go over there and make a career.
Well, hopefully, you know, it gets to a point where they feel the same way about being in England. You know, we get more, you know, Australians coming to England and vice versa, you know. And how's Tom doing it right now with the platform? I can see that happening in years to come.
We talk about the platform. We've got new teams in Super League this year, Barrow and Feathersome are around as well. But in the future, perhaps Cardiff and London, the sport is growing.
Massively. You find yourself, you know, travelling down. Like, we went to London Broncos last year for the first time. It's exciting. You know, you want to travel and you want to be an athlete. You know, it's just, we need to get to a point, you know, we are getting closer and closer. We're not having to get up on a Monday morning and go to work after a game. You've been travelling down London, but we're getting closer and closer. That's all we can say at the moment, but we'll hopefully, in time to come, not in my career, but in time to come, they can be full-time athletes.
What are you going to do after your playing career? Coaching, something else?
I work in a high school, so I love my job. I love the company I work for. So we'll just see how we go. But yeah, I definitely want to give you know, something back to rugby league, absolutely. But in what that forms of that I look like, I don't really know.
Just get telework, it's easy to stand out.
Yeah. I've got better at speaking, so we'll see.
Shona Hoyle, of course, a part of the St Helens side who won at Wembley last year, as was Vicky Whitfield. Vicky, now we spoke after the World Cup game against Papua New Guinea, I think, which seems a long time ago now. Since then, you've won at Wembley.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into the new season?
I'm really excited. You know, just listen to the people talk there, like Tom, saying how far the women's game's come and the different competitions, and that's got... he's got going on. It's just really exciting. It feels like it's going to go up another level, like he said, and yeah, just really excited.
Does that put pressure on you as St Helens, because you're one of the teams at the top that people are trying to chase down then?
I think there's pressure every year. I think, you know, if you're one of the top performing sides, I think there's pressure every year, and I think we like to be under pressure. I think, like Mike Rush said a couple of weeks ago, as a club, we thrive under pressure. I think we kind of like it when it doesn't go our way, so we can kind of go, OK, watch this. So we're looking forward to it.
After the Challenge Cup win, obviously, at Wembley, which was a great occasion, missed out on the grand final. How gutting was that? Obviously, you had that great moment in the middle of the season, but not able to finish the story.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, it's gutting not getting to a final. We want to be at the big occasions, and I think obviously 2021 we had a really successful year winning the treble, and that's something that we strive for every year. We want to be up there. We want to be in contention for those trophies. So to miss out just short was it was gutting.
Signing the contracts last week. Got to ask this, were they real contracts or were these fake bits of paper in front of you?
Yeah, so the match payment agreements, so they were the real thing. They're just like an agreement between us and the club to say you're getting paid for the matches that you play, and so it was a very special day for everyone.
As long as it wasn't a prop, that's the main thing. I mean, you mentioned it's special, and the players I spoke to last week said the same as well, but it's the other parts of the support from the club, the medical and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so I've recently just had surgery on my knee, just a little clear out, so nothing major, but the contrast from that compared to what I went through with my ACL, obviously still with St Helens, but the infrastructure wasn't quite there yet. And to say the difference between that and what I've had done recently was just massive. Like, I was the time frame for a start was just so quick compared to that, and then how I was taken care of by the hospital, by, you know, medical staff that are available for us at Saints. They've got it really right at Saints, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm proud of being part of the club, is that they've actually got the infrastructure right before moving into the paying girls, all that sort of stuff, which is great, but they've got the basics right and they've got the things that matter the most to players right.
Are you one of those who was a Saints fan from a kid, or you?
No. So I'm a Widnes girl. So I grew up watching Widnes Vikings. In fact, it was Widnes Vikings coming into my primary school that got me involved in the sport to begin with. So that's their little claim. but no, I only started watching the men's team when I joined the women's side. I just started following them on socials and thought, I'll follow this, see if they post anything about us, and then started following that, and I was like, oh, actually the men's team are actually pretty good. I'll go down to a few games, and yeah, absolutely love watching them now.
Talking about TikTok on stage, I mean I am on TikTok, but I am very old as well, so I don't really understand what's going on, but I'm putting social media in terms of growing women's rugby league to a different audience.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think I read something once, it was from a fan, and it said something about clubs can only promote players so much, but it's up to the player themselves to show their personality and to promote themselves, essentially. And, you know, we've got Emily Rudge, who's just the queen of reels and TikTok. She absolutely is. Every trade, I think she's been told off now to put her phone away at a certain point, but she's great. She, you know, she shows off personalities, she gets different people involved, and it just gives fans something else to... It's not just the usual boring, you know, they've scored this many tries or the this, or, you know, you get to actually see the people, and I think people buy into people. And if you can see someone's personality, then you're more likely to associate with that person and want them to do well. So, yeah.
I don't want to say something about the people I follow on Instagram, but is that something the men could do more of then to make themselves more personable to your people?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, you know, I think I heard that apparently the men watch Emily's reels and think that they're great. So maybe get them involved. I mean, I could see them doing a, you know, a left or right sort of reel. No, maybe not.
Here's a 40-20 attempt, and it's not bad.
Oh, he's
done
it.
It is. It's there. It just kept going and going.
Brogan, are you ready? Are you ready for the 2024 season?
Yes, I am. Straight up, yeah.
Not a fan of pre-season, or just more wanting to just get on and play the games?
Do you know what? I'm a prop, so what prop enjoys pre-season?
Have they had you running up hills and stuff?
Not running up hills as such, but a lot of running.
No one wants to do that, do they? That's why you could do cross country. It's called no one enjoys doing
cross country. No one enjoyed it.
How ready are you for the Challenge Cup?
Yeah, well, there's nothing we can do about the cards we've been dealt. We've just got to turn up with right attitude and hopefully give it a good shot and give a good representation of ourselves.
Obviously, it's a tough competition, Challenge Cup and the Women's Super League. You've been there with some top clubs. How do Featherston match up with those these days?
Do you know, we are a few seasons behind, but like I said, we've been building for a long time, so hopefully we can lay a good platform and just keep building and keep, obviously, showing a really good example for girls that are coming up.
And obviously in the town you've got the Lionesses as well. There's a nice pathway through for players to come to the club.
Yeah, we've got under-19s in ours, and we're hoping to expand that to under-16s or under-14s, but some of the girls at the under-19s have got some real talent, so we're looking forward to filtering them through.
It's got to be great to see that progression of players coming through the system who want to play for Featherstone Rovers.
Yeah, well, everyone who plays for Featherstone is really proud to wear the shirt and the badge and the club. So, you know, we don't get paid, so it's literally for pride of the shirt.
Watching the men at the weekend, you wanted to play in those conditions?
Personally not, but there is a few girls on the team that would absolutely love that. Personally, it's not my cup of tea, but if it happens, it happens. But
you are the top women's team in the Wakefield district. Obviously Wakefield and Casper not in Super League anymore. How important is that you're the top of the tree, so players from the area will be gravitating towards you?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if you've got a big recruitment base, then, you know, we can keep going, building up. But, you know, there's a rivalry, isn't there, between all teams in Wakefield and Cass and Fev, and so
don't want to say which one I'm from. But it's not Castleford, that's all right.
I'm from Castleford.
Wakefield teams.
So Sunday were a pill to swallow
it
then.
It was, but I'm kind of related to the guy who scored the try, so it's all right. but everyone's related, aren't they? How do Featherstone compete with Leeds, Wigan, St Helens, all these big clubs that are in this competition? It must be difficult to do, but obviously the pride in the shirt and everything, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's finding the trademark that your team's good for, and hopefully, I know what our trademark is. Maybe some of these teams don't yet, but hopefully we can show them.
So you're not going to tell me, are you?
No, you'll have to wait and see.
By the time you've heard this podcast, the game between Cardiff and Barrow will probably have been done and dusted. We'll hear from the Barrow coach, Amanda Wilkinson, in a moment, who has plenty of interesting things to say. And first, interesting things from Cardiff with coach Ian Newbury and fullback and captain Leanne Burnell.
Right, just so I get it right, names and positions, please.
Ian Newbury, head coach.
And I'm Leanne Burnell, fullback.
First of all, how ready are Cardiff for the challenge this weekend?
Yeah, you know, we've started training earlier than we've had ever before, and we've been going pretty hard, so yeah, we're really excited for it, and we're ready to take the field and see what we can do.
Had enough of pre-season, ready for two yeah. To actual games?
No, it's been great, because we've got quite a few new girls, so it's actually a chance to kind of spend more time together than we've had before, and then, yeah, a bit more ready for our first game this time.
The thing that always confuses me, because I, when I started in broadcasting, I had to cover a local rugby union and I didn't have a clue what was going on. How do you switch mindsets between the two?
The first season it was quite a challenge, especially in the rugby area. You'd have girls going over and be like, nope, you don't need to go in there. But we have girls that play touch, we have girls that play sevens, so I think we're all quite now used to changing codes. And
what's the hope for Cardiff this year? And obviously in the new Championship South competition, a chance at the end of the season perhaps to get promoted to Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming to be in that Championship playoff. We're not going to say, oh, we've got to see how good we do. That's where we want to be. You know, we set ourselves a stall in going further than we did last year in the Challenge Cup. And that's the first aim. And then we'll move over to the league and see where we get to.
With the Challenge Cup in a group stage, does that help you build up towards those league games?
Yeah, it has. And obviously with the qualification for the World Cup as well, we're using it for a lot of the girls, the homegrown players, to get that experience going through to the World Cup qualifiers. So for us, it's a really important part of our season where it's going to give us that opportunity to compete at a higher level, set ourselves up, and then go again into sort of the league, so we'll be at a better preparedness.
How important is that for the Wales national team, that a lot of you do play for Cardiff?
Yeah, it's great. This year now, then, getting a chance to play against other teams and more competitive teams, I think is challenging us then before we then step up to international, definitely.
Obviously, rugby union's the biggest thing in Wales, but how important would it be that Cardiff can get into the Women's Super League and grow the game that way?
Oh, it's massive. We already see already, there's so many girls coming. Each season we're having more numbers. But if we can then, as I say, get onto that platform and be a bit more recognised, hopefully we get even more in then.
And not just kind of obviously the national team qualifying for the World Cup would be superb.
Oh, that'd be crazy. That'd be probably the best thing we can hope for, really. That's what we're all kind of pushing for.
It's going to be obviously tough for Wales to do that, but obviously it's a massive carrot at the end of the stick.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, from our perspective, it's about getting visibility. You know, we're there, and like Leanne said, every year we get little bits of, you know, oh, I'd love to come along and try it out. And it's just about growing that visibility, starting to put some pathways in place and really giving it, you know, there is an opportunity here to play in the British Super League at some point. You know, the way the girls are going, like I said, St Helens signed professional contracts, you know, that's the future. It isn't just one sport, there is another one you can have a go at and aspire.
I want to ask you something, Amanda, because there's something you said on stage and I'm thick so I don't understand it. What's the difference between men's rugby league and women's rugby league?
Well, I think the obvious, but...
Well, apart from that, I mean, I'm not that stupid, I promise.
Yeah, I think for myself, like at the moment I'm currently coaching because I'm fully employed at UCLan, the University of Central Lancashire, so I'm coaching a men's team. And then obviously at Barrow in Super League. So I get on a weekly basis, and especially from like December, January, February, March, there's a crossover because they're both playing and training. So you do see the difference because I have to plan for both of them to play. You know, the men's team playing in the top level at UCLan, so it's a really competitive league. And then obviously the women are as well. So it's performance coaching, and they're just different. And you know, like it's the obvious things for me that some people don't seem to see, but I think it's because if you talk to a lot of coaches don't do it. So they haven't got that knowledge because it's just seeing it as rugby league rather than what it actually is. So for me, a big one is the contact stuff. You know, how many women have massive, strong, big shoulders like the guys? You know, they don't. You've got to work on that, haven't you? They're built different. And the obvious one is what women have that men don't, that, you know, get in the way. It's all about your carry. You talk about carry and positioning of the ball and knock-ons and tackle and play the ball. They can get in the way. You know, I'm not going to state the obvious, but that, yeah, they get in the way. And it's like, it's recognising that because it's ignorant not to, in my opinion. It's ignorant to just think they're the same though they're not. You know, a man works on his chest. You know, it'd be strong and chesty and he can hit you with it. And a woman's is different. And I think that's the best example of they are different people. Completely different, built different, and I've got different attributes to add. And coaching from like a point of view of the mental side of it, they think different as well. You know, they say women multitask, and I think it's in rugby league. Like I can give the girls something to do, you know, my quite complex, and they get it. But they'll ask questions and ask questions and ask questions. The lads will just go and do it, but they have a perceived perception of it. They're like a couple of things that are different. But for me, yes, we are different. We're known as two different, completely different things. But yet when it comes to sport, we tend to think that the women are playing a man's sport. But no, they're not. They're playing rugby league. And I think really refreshing when I heard Dennis Betts's interview months ago when he took on the job at Wigan, and I thought that is refreshing. He'll go a long way in coaching the game because he's approaching it as he's coaching women.
Because you can't just parachute a man in who doesn't have that knowledge, so to speak.
No, and I literally think, like, you know, this isn't being any disrespect to a man or any coaches, it's like if you haven't experienced it, are you just going in as a coach, coaching rugby league and seeing it as a man? You know, if you've coached men predominantly, am I just going in and coaching rugby league and you're seeing how you coach men? If I'd have done that approach, then I'd have stayed in my comfort zone, because I've got to say I've coached for 22 years and, you know, I started off my journey at Leeds Rhinos with like Ryan Hall and Luke Gale and players like that, and then Wigan, you know, I had like Oliver Gildart, George Williams, John Bateman and all those young men. If I'd have then, when I got asked to take the women in 2018, I was out of my comfort zone. I was like, wait there, I don't coach women. You know, I hadn't at the time, and I'll be honest, when he asked me, I was like, well, can I do this? So I straight away recognised that they're two different things, but a lot of people don't, because they just see it as it's rugby league and you just play rugby league, men and women, you know, when you just play like this, you do this because they do it. And I just think it's a little bit refreshing, and probably most men within the game have coached men, because the men's game is where it is and it's a lot bigger, isn't it? And I think it'll just grow more when we start to see what women bring different. Yeah, men bring something different, women bring something different to the game, and there's probably areas of the game that they're so much stronger, and if you're a good and open-minded enough coach to recognise that, you'll take it to a different level. And I think it's really important.
What are we expecting from Barrow this year, then? Now I know kind of what's going on. What are we expecting from Barrow this year?
We've prepared well. We've been in since, you know, we got 6 weeks off, and then I was quite keen to get the girls back in, because I recognise, you know, that it's physicality is going to be a big thing for us this year. You know, I think bigger, faster, stronger in this competition, so we need to get a bit of a head start and start preparing the girls differently, and then also like the intensity. So, you know, you want this word intensity in training. What is it? What does it look like? How does it feel? And how do we manage it? And then done quite a lot of stuff around the mindset, because for me, you know, you're going to go into a season where it's going to be tough, and there's going to be some tough games. You know, we've got to be realistic here, and you've got to mentally prepare them. You can do all the skills and contact in the world, but if they don't mentally believe in themselves or recognise how to, you know, deal with the controversy and everything else that goes with it, then they're going to struggle. So we've done a lot of work around that and putting them into them dark places and, you know, them ugly places that you have to go through various training sessions and discussions and stuff like that. So yeah, we've prepared the best we can, and like I always say, my philosophy is to be the best we can be, and for me, for Barrow, my goal this year is just to do exactly that. I think, you know, we've just got to make sure that everyone's prepared. I've got to be honest and think, right, have we prepared them right? Are we ready to go? Which I think we are. I think, you know, we're waiting now to go. You know, we've got our first game this season, on this weekend, and we're ready for it now. And you don't know till you're about three games in to where you actually are, and then we'll obviously reassess then to see where we're at and fix things along the way. But, you know, it is exciting. You know, it is exciting being in Super League. It's never been done before, but we've got over that sort of excitement side now because, you know, it's all good. These memories are brilliant and history's made, but, you know, we're on a journey and we've got to go out there and we've got to perform.
Is it about being competitive to whatever you feel is competitive? Because there are, obviously, when teams are paying players, it's a bit of a difference than when you're not.
Yeah, it is. You know, like that's a whole different discussion, isn't it? It is a whole different discussion for me. We have our own DNA within our group, which I don't want to go into too much. It's a personal thing that we have, and we set that standard by that, and we revert back to it when things aren't right. And I think that underpins what we're about. And we, you know, I talk about honesty, respect, commitment, hard work, and I think that's really, really important and key to it. And if you get that from your players, that's all you can ask. You know, you can, no matter what you come up against, whether you go out and beat a team 50-0 or get beat 50-0, if that person's gone in and give it everything, and you've given them the tools to do everything. So, like I say, it's all about preparation. You know, we brought in a new strength and conditioner this year. The guy that does the strength and conditioning for the guys is a PT man, and he's done our strength and conditioning. And, you know, I do believe we've accessed some different areas that we hadn't done before. And they've brought in a performance analysis guy, so we're doing a lot more work around that. They need to be tactically and technically better this year as well. So I think if I do an honest job, and that's why, like I've said, I've started my masters and stuff this year, is I want to challenge myself so that I can keep up with my players and offer them something. And no matter what, if you've gone out and done that, then that's success in itself, isn't it? We played a friendly, which I don't like the word friendly, but we against Huddersfield, and you know, I told the girls that, you know, I'm not interested in the score. It's all about each person going out and giving it the best, because you're fighting for that, being in that starting 17. And they come away and there's some disappointed players because we asked that question, did you give it your best? What do you think performed like? And they underperformed massively, some of them, and then some really overachieved. So I think we measure it by that. That's what Barra's about. It's about being a good person, being honest and committed and giving it your best. And we do like to be known as, you know, a tough team that don't go away, really, in attack and defence.
Finally then, back to York, and for context here, because it won't make sense, because this is a podcast and you can't see us, it's Kelsey Gentles. You remember her, she used to play for York, then she got injured and pregnant, but she's back, and I'm interviewing her in front of a big picture of herself.
Are you the pin-up girl for York Valkyrie then?
No, I'm definitely not. I don't know why they use mine.
But you're going to take this home, this is going to be on your wall.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I've just bought a house and I need it in pride and place in the living room, I think. So everyone knows this is Kelsey G's house.
We're friends now, aren't we? We are friends.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're rebuilding our relationship.
Frenemies,
yeah.
I know the answer to this because I spoke to you earlier, so I won't spoil it for the listeners. But are you ready? Are you ready to come back?
Yeah, I think I am ready. You know, it's been a long pre-season. It's been ups and downs, as every pre-season, but more so because of the uphill climb I've had to do since having a baby. But towards the end now, you know, I'm ready to play, I think.
June 2022, you said, your last game here?
Yeah, last game at York. Yeah, my last game of rugby league was in September. But last time I played at York was in June 2022 when I got a knee injury. Brilliant.
But since you enforced break for injury and having babies and stuff, you've been on the telly though. You've still been around. We've still seen you on the telly. Have you enjoyed the TV stuff?
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed the TV stuff. It's a learning curve for sure. But I was just grateful that I could stay in the sport when I wasn't playing and things like that. I think I love rugby league. I love watching. I love being a part of it. So that was just a small way of me staying in the sport while I was doing that amazing thing and having my child. And then now it's kind of, I'll park that for now, focus on playing, and if I get the opportunity later down the line, hopefully I will get that opportunity, but we'll just got to wait and see.
So you're really small, or is Danica really tall? I can't work it out.
She's a giant. I'm pretty smaller, to be honest. We're just like little and large, big cook, little cook. That's what we're like when we're next to each other, but we're just like a bunch of kids.
You're looking forward to the new season. Coming back into the champion team, I mean, how do you get back in the team for a start?
Exactly. It's been a tough graft. I mean, coming back full stop was going to be difficult, but coming back into a squad where they're riding off a grand final win and they want to maintain them standards, and there's just no room to be mediocre in York. So I knew coming back it was going to be tough, but when I came at pre-season I realised how tough it was going to be, and I really did need to knuckle down and you know, be patient with myself in a way, but then also know that, you know, the standards are high and I need to be meeting them standards pretty soon.
You were supposed to play a couple of times for York for Sheffield and Joel Reg, but yeah. The weather beat you, so are you looking for hopefully playing this weekend, your first game in a while?
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I'm in contention. Hopefully I'll make the 17 to play against Sheffield this weekend, because I've been trying to play for Sheffield for the past couple of weeks, but the games have been getting called off, and I wanted to really get that match fitness and kind of blow the cobwebs off before, but obviously it's not worked out that way, so I'll just have to wait for this first Challenge Cup game, and hopefully I'll do well.
How frustrating is the weather? Because, you know, I sit in a radio studio and games get called off, I've got less things to talk about. But you're ready, you're building yourself up mentally to get out there.
Yeah, like 2 weeks in a row, I've done the full game ritual, you know, ate really well. You do my pre-match meals the night before, woke up in the morning, ate my poached eggs, packed my bag, about to leave for the game, and then it gets called off. I mean, it's such a roller coaster. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I've got training tomorrow, I've got that to look forward to, but I'm just waiting for the games to start now. You know, in Women's Super League, they very seldom get called off, so at least we know we have that structure. We know that we're going to be playing every week near enough, and just can't wait to get started, to be honest.
Obviously, this is a question I have no clue about, so pregnancy and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to school, you know, birds and bees and stuff. How does it change you afterwards as an athlete?
Well, honestly, your whole body changes through pregnancy, and I think I underestimated it a little bit. You know, I thought coming back might be the same as nursing a big injury. It's totally not. Your body is totally different, you know, especially if you do certain things. Like I breastfed, so I had to deal with those kind of differences as well. So it's not just recovering from the birth. You're doing all the breastfeeding and dealing with your body, and you've got a baby, and it's just a lot of things to counter in, and your body does change. You know, I was probably a specialist winger before I got pregnant, and now I don't really know where I'm going to play. You know, I'm probably just going to play everywhere, and I'm happy with that. You know, my body has changed, so I'm happy to put my trust into the coaching staff, and they will put me where I'm best placed with my skill set. But on the flip side, I've got 10 times stronger since having a baby. I thought I was strong before, but I am much stronger now. You know, I don't know if it's giving birth or something mystical that happens, but I am definitely stronger, so I'm ready to, you know, get into some people in the season and hopefully do a job for York, because York are, you know, they are the big ones, they're the big lads out there, so hopefully we'll see.
I think Ash High came back after about 6 or 8 weeks or something. You're slacking, aren't you? Slacking.
I know. I've been told I'm lazy so many times, but, you know, I think different people, I needed the time. At 7 weeks post birth, I could barely walk. So I think it would have been a bit of a rush for me to start running. I tried to start running, but my body just wasn't there yet. I needed more time to get right, and my back was killing me, so I had to sort all that out, and now I feel like I'm in a position where I can actually play and I'm not going to be injured after one game.
I mean, I carry my bag around all the time. I know what back aches like. So,
yeah.
So it's not just like you went in thinking it's going to be like a knee injury or something, mm-hmm. and it's not. Go off, you, I have no idea.
And that's what I think. I thought it was going to be like an injury, just, you know, doing the rehab, maybe a bit like an ACL. Like, you'll get back in time, you'll be fit as a fiddle, but psychologically, the toll it takes on you. And then you've got the lack of sleep, and you're taking care of a little person. You know, it is a lot going on. So I think that's the difference I didn't take into account. I thought it was going to be much easier than it was, and it isn't. It is harder. The difference is, you know, I wish I could have trained more during pregnancy, but I got struck off because I had a hip problem. So by 6 months pregnant, I was doing nothing, and by the end, I could barely walk. So I think that's the difference, you know. You have to take those things into account when you're having a baby, but it doesn't matter now because I'm back, so let's all be positive.
Are they coming to watch you? Are they going to be there on Sunday and cheering you on, whatever yeah. noise babies make?
Yeah, of course. And Maya makes a lot of noise when she gets going. She's a mother's child for sure. You know, she can get going with the best of them. She'll be there. She's got a little York Valkyrie top, so she'll be wearing that, and you'll probably hear her babbling away, and Dad will be there and my mum will be there, so really happy.
So you're going to put the picture in a bedroom?
Yeah, I think I might put it above her cot so she knows I'm always watching her.
I think we're friends now, anyway. Right, that's it. We'll be back on Monday from 6 for another hour or so of live rugby league discussion with you getting involved on the chat on YouTube and, of course, on the podcast following later on in the evening if my laptop is working. Thanks for joining us. Good luck to all the teams involved in the Women's Super League and Challenge Cup this year. And there'll be more coverage throughout the year here at 4020. Sports Social Podcast Network.